Morning. I was hoping that more children up here. We have four. Is there anyone else who would like to join us up here? No, I guess that's a tough one, huh? You know, I don't blame you on that. You may not know this. I'm one who's always afraid to stand up. I'm one who's always afraid, and especially when it comes to saying verses, I used to sit back and go, oh no, two more, then it's my turn. And I would shrink in my seat. So I don't blame you, but for thank you for those who are able to come up. Well, let's begin our meeting by singing a hymn. Anyone of you have a favorite? Okay, Emma. Number 47. Okay, that's a nice one. Number 47 in the back of our hymn sheet. When He Cometh.
When He Cometh.
When He Cometh.
Start. Let's look to the Lord for help. Blessed God and our loving Savior, we give thanks this morning for the time with thy word before us. We thank thee for this Sunday school meeting. We thank thee that children, young or old, are able to come under the sound of thy word. We look to thee. We ask for help. We ask for blessing for this meeting. We pray especially if there be anyone here who are still lost in the sins, whether it be a little one or an older one too, Lord. We pray that thou would work in the heart and conscience this morning, that thou would help them to repent. And surely we know how precious it is to know that the blood of Jesus Christ, thy Son, cleanseth us from all sins. So we commit this meeting into thine hand, looking for help once more in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, who would like to sing another hymn? No, you gave one out already. And if I do that, people will think I play favor. Yes. Oh, was that a stretch or arm up? No one else? Oh, thank you. Hymn number 40. Oh, this is an all-time favorite, isn't it? Jesus loves me. And can we notice that when we sing that? It's me. This is about you. This is about no one else but you. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. So let's sing this together. Jesus loves me. Anyone else for another one? Yes, go ahead. Number 33. Number 33.
Nothing either great or small. Thank you.
You know, that's a really nice hymn. I know often with children's hymn, we sing in the back of this hymn sheet. But this is a really nice hymn, isn't it? This tells us the whole gospel story. Tell me, is it not? Oh, many of us here know the gospel story. The Lord Jesus died on the cross for us. And on the cross, he said, it is finished. There's no more to be done. The work of redemption is fully accomplished. And yet, you know, there are Christians out there that will try to do extra things. They may say to you, you need to obey the Sabbath. They may say to you, you need to do this or that. Well, when it comes to salvation here, the work is finished. Now, I ask you children to pick hymns. Is it okay if I pick one? Would that be okay? Yeah? I like to pick number 42. Many of you know that's my favorite. It's a short, very short hymn. And in Sunday school meeting like this, we've got children of all ages. Someone said to me, we were talking this morning about we're not getting older. And I told him, I know I try not to grow up, and my wife thinks that I'm still not growing up. So this here tells us a lot. The hymn says, a little child of 7. Anyone who was 7 years old here? No. Oh, a little child of 7. Or even 3. No, that's not you. 3 or 4 may enter into heaven through Christ, the open door. And I know some of you are anticipating. We'll sing it twice. The second time around, I like to change the word so little because some are a little older than 7. So we'll sing it this way. A little child of 70. I know Brother Bill told me yesterday that he's 70 years old. He's old, right? But then it says, or even, now I'm going to like to change the next line too, or even 34. Some of you, I'm sure, are around that age. So I like to sing it this way because the gospel is for all, isn't it? From a child of 7 to 70, whether you are 3 or 4 or 34, you are included in this hymn. Let's sing this together. A little child. You know, I find the Sunday school is a very challenging meeting to address. The reason is, do we speak to the 3 or 4? Or do we tailor it to the 34? So I find it difficult. So let's, through the Lord's help, perhaps a little message for the younger one first, and then perhaps a little message for the young people and for the rest of us, because we all should be able to learn or glean something from that. And children, As I look around here, I believe all of you have been to Sunday school before. Have you? Yeah. Some of you I may not know very well, but I do believe you have been to Sunday school, you've been to gospel meeting, and you know the answer of how to be saved. Am I right in saying that? Yeah. To be saved is very simple, isn't it? The Word of God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Yeah, you're echoing that verse with me. Thank you. That's very nice, isn't it? There's no more to be done. It's to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans, it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart. Wait a minute. What are we to confess? Do you know that verse? Think about that for a moment. We are to believe. We're going to confess. How many of you know that verse and help you say that? Can you, hold on a second. I forgot I have this. Say that verse for me. It's on. If thou shalt.
Thou shalt be saved.
Thou shalt. Confess with thy mouth.
Confess with thy mouth.
And believe.
And believe the Lord Jesus Christ with thy heart. Thou shalt be saved.
That's good. That's good. We missed a little bit that I was hoping to, but that's very good. Can anyone else help with that? Believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. It's very important to realize it, isn't it? Is to confess him as our Lord, not just the name Jesus. Yes, the name Jesus. Every knee shall bow. It's going to come that day. But today, you must confess him as Lord and believe that he's no longer dead. He came to die, but God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. You know, we speak a lot of death. The Lord's death, but the Word of God always put death and resurrection together. You see that thought throughout Scripture. 3 days after is resurrection. So for the little ones, learn those verses. My desire this morning is to encourage not just the younger one, but the little bit older to read the Word of God. This is where the power is, isn't it? And I know if I address you, you say, I read this. Well, someone said to me one time, he said, you know, Mr. So, I know that person. When they go home, they act differently. It's sad, isn't it, that sometimes we have two lives. We know how to show our brethren and our young people how spiritually we appear to be. But this is nothing to do with being who you are with, but for yourself. This book is wonderful. I'm going to use a little example here, perhaps a little object lesson. When we look at this book, there's nothing. You know, this is like the Lord Jesus. He said when they looked at him, he said he was like a root out of the dry ground. There's no beauty in him that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs. And I find most of us treat his book similarly. So, I brought a bag. A big bag. So I can bring a little bag with me. Just for illustrations. So what do you think I have in this little bag? What? Another bag. You must think I'm Russian. I look Russian, don't I? With those little dolls that have a doll inside a doll, right? But sometimes we look at something on the outside and go, eh, what's in it? There's nothing in it. Okay? You can't judge by the cover, can you? Well, there's no cover to this, so you can't judge it neither, right? Now, let me see. I need some volunteer here. If you can then tell me what you see, I would guess most of you wouldn't know because you didn't pack this bag. Oh, I forgot about this. What do you see?
Candy.
Oh, something sweet, isn't it? Oh, before I toss it over. Now, talk to your parents. Not all of you are allowed to have this. And some of you don't like candies. I know that, right? And I want to share with you one more thing. When you take these candies, they don't look good because I didn't realize how hot Kentucky is, and we left it in the car. And then my wife decided to test it. She go, oh, it's squishy, it's soft. So it's even more squishy. So you don't have to eat a squishy candy, but that's all I have. I didn't have time to go to the store. Thank you for helping me. The rest of you can just watch and wait. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. It's okay. I got more. We'll do that later. So in this little bag was hidden something sweet. Now, if we didn't open this, would you have known there were candy bars in there? Oh, I'm going to set some out here. What else is in there? Oh, there's more candies in there. See? See, when you look, oh, there's different kind too. I'm going to sit it out here for a minute. I know some of you, if I forget, you might go run behind the podium later after meeting, right? And what's this? Another candy? Another bag? Oh, wait a minute now. I brought a windbreaker. Would you have guessed there's a windbreaker inside this bag? Oh, you would have. You saw me stuff it this morning. Right? Oh. Well, sometimes you have to open things up to see what it is, don't you? And wait a minute now. There's still more in there. I'm not doing a magic show, so don't think that. I just thought this is kind of interesting to show the point. What do you think? Wow, another garment. Would you have known if you didn't open the bag? Would you even have guessed? Well, the Bible is like that. There is always something sweet. And then there is garments. It's interesting too. Garment in the Word of God often speaks of the garment of righteousness, right? There, now I'm fashionable, right? I believe this is the newest craze with this vest and that look like life jacket. So there's something in there that we didn't know. Now let's turn to our Bible. There is so much hidden. I have about 5-10 minutes. And I don't think I can tell you everything there is. Well, I really couldn't tell you everything there is because I don't know everything there is about the Word of God, do I? But there are so much in there. But I'll share with you something interesting. This Bible has 66 books in there. Did you know that? You did. Good. You heard me talk about that before. 66 books. 39 books in the Old Testament. That leaves 27 books in the New Testament, right? How many of you like math? How many of you don't like math? You know, I can never remember things. So I always go 39 books, 39 books. I can remember that. So I take 3 times 9 is 27. Okay, the 27 books in the New Testament. Funny way to remember things, huh? But, you know, there's something interesting that God had one theme in this book. This theme is the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? You know, at Sunday school, it's very interesting. I tell this story often. And this group is different. You're a little bit older. A lot of times, someone would say, I have a question. And often children would have their hands up before the question is raised. Have you ever seen that? Children are so smart, they know what the question is before it was asked. They put their hand up, and then when a question is raised, they'll go, and they'll say, Jesus. Have you seen that before? But if you really think about it, the little child is right. Because everything we talk about is about Jesus. When you read this and you go, I don't understand it. I don't know what it's talking about. Well, then the first thing you should say is, Jesus. How is Jesus applied to this passage? Would that help you read the Word of God? It's a wonderful book. If you love mathematics, oh, there are numbers all over this. If you like history, there are history right through. If you like to know how to deal with people, it's right through. But above all, the most important question the Word of God has to deal with is the question of sin. And this is a topic that this world no longer wants to talk about. Everyone wants to say how good they are, but ignore the fact that this has a benchmark that God sets. And God said, for the wages of sin is death. But before that, he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sad, isn't it? Now, I want to condense things a bit because of time. How many of you heard of the book called Isaiah? Oh, nice. And most of the older ones haven't. Isn't that interesting? Only the younger one know the book of Isaiah. How many books in the book of Isaiah? How many chapters in the book of Isaiah? I'll give you a few seconds to think as you're flipping the pages. How many chapters? You're close. How many? 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. How many books did we say in the whole Bible? How many books in the whole Bible? 66 books in the whole Bible. Interesting, eh? You know, Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, is just like a miniature book of the Bible. Because the book of Isaiah, we won't have time, but let's turn to chapter 1. It starts off by stating something that most people don't like. Perhaps today they would even use the phrase, it's not politically correct. Let me just read some verses, see if you know anybody like that. We'll start at chapter 1, verse 2. Isaiah said, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. Wow, it's telling us, everyone here, to listen carefully. For the Lord has spoken. God has spoken. He wants this world to know. He said, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Oh, this sounds bad, doesn't it? Right from the beginning of this book, he said that he raised children, and they were rebellious. Verse 3, the ox knoweth his master, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. For they forsake the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Now he's speaking to the nation of Israel. But does that remind you of anyone or any country that you know? God, in this book, just like the Bible, from the very beginning, declare that men are sinful before him. And this is the first thing we need to understand, that there is a God. What's the first verse in the Bible? In the beginning, you know what it is? In the beginning, who?
God created the heavens and the earth.
In the beginning is God who created all things. So that's the first thing we have to know is there is a God. But then the book of Genesis tells us that man have failed. Man disobeyed God and he sinned. So here in the first book of Isaiah, it tells us man sinned. But then as we go through, we won't turn to it now, we see the clock is running. Then he tells us, he provided a way. He said, unto us, a son is given. He told us that So he's going to send a Savior. Now, just for time's sake, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 40. I'll tell you why chapter 40. Let's go back to what we said about how many books in the Old Testament. How many of you remember? How many books in the Old Testament? 39. So the first book in the New Testament would be which book, number-wise? The 40th book. So let's turn to the 40th chapter, because this is just like the New Testament, isn't it? So it starts off by saying, God said, "Comfort ye, comfort ye." Even though he condemned the people of sin, let's go down to verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3. "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway of our God." Does this man remind you of anyone in Scripture? There was a man in the New Testament we read of. His name is John. He was peculiar. I guess today's phrase, he's weird, right? He doesn't even dress right. He wore camel's hair. He eats honey. That's okay, but along with locusts. How many of you tasted locusts? I see there are quite a few out in the field. Can you imagine that's your diet? Honey and locusts? He's different, but God raised him up. In fact, we read about him yesterday. Someone read about Elizabeth, his mother. Isn't it interesting, eh? She was 6 months pregnant. So when we read the Word of God, we know, wait a minute. John is 6 months older than Jesus. But we don't think about that way, do we? He was 6 months older. And he came as it was foretold in Isaiah. He came out of the wilderness. His job was to prepare a way. He was a forerunner for our Lord Jesus Christ. This book tells us God must punish sin. But it tells us that even though for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Children, young people, brethren, this is a wonderful book that we need to spend time to enjoy, as this is the way God would speak to us. All right, we have 10 minutes left. The reason for the candies. Oh, before I know some of you are probably wondering why I brought a big bag too. Do you think there's a story behind this I'm going to use? No, there isn't. That's just to keep you guessing. Just like, you know, it's like many things in this world, it's called fluffs. It's there to make you think there's something, but there is nothing. Mind you, I did use it to bring a few more candy bars for those who want to say the verses, though. So, what is the verse for today? Psalm chapter 18, verse 2. Am I right? Any volunteer? Okay, Emma. I'll hold it for you. You're reading it. Now close your Bible. The Lord?
The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God,
my deliverer? No?
That's my strength.
In whom
I will trust, my buckler, my horn of redemption.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
My rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, in whom I will trust.
Is that a part you learned? Did you learn more?
No.
That's good. Psalms. Remember where it is? Psalms. Psalms 18, 2.
2.
Laura. The Lord?
The Lord.
The Lord is my rock.
The Lord is my rock.
My fortress.
My fortress.
And my deliverer.
And my deliverer.
Am I right? Thank you. Anyone else?
The Lord is my rock.
My fortress.
fortress.
My fortress.
And my strength.
And my strength.
My God.
My God.
And my deliverer.
And my deliverer.
In whom will I trust?
In whom I will trust.
Psalm.
Psalm 18:2.
Thank you.
The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my strength. My God, my deliverer, in whom I will trust. Psalm 18:2.
Good.
The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. Psalms 18:2.
Thank you. Are you going to try it? No?
Can we?
Okay, you can read it.
The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower.
Very good. You going to try it? Okay.
The Lord is my rock, my
fortress,
and my strength, my God, my deliverer, in whom I will trust. My buckler in the horn of
my salvation. That's good. You learned most of it.
Psalms
18:2. Anyone else? Becca, you going to try? No? Any big boy, big girls back there want to try it? Well, that is very nice. Thank you for trying that. Now, I'm going to set a bunch of candy bars back there. If you feel you said the verse and earned it, and some of you may have said it quietly, that's okay too. And feel free to come up. If you think your mom and dad need one as much as you do, well, feel free to get one for your mom and dad. Let's sing one more hymn before we close. Anyone else? Anyone else who haven't given a hymn yet? Have you? Okay. Hymn number 44. Into a
tent. Amen.
You know, often after a meeting, or perhaps when we go home, and I know this happened to me a lot, someone would say, "How was the conference?" I would say, "It was nice." "What did they talk about?" "I don't remember." So it's kind of nice sometimes to sum things up. I know when we leave, sometimes we don't remember. And I may not be very good at expressing myself. So my message was to encourage you to read the Word of God. Even if we can't express things right, God will express it properly to you. This is the most important thing, isn't it? Read the Word of God and enjoy what He has.